The buzzword this time of year is resolution. How many of y'all have made some New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand. All right, like four people. Awesome. Nobody likes New Year's. Okay, so I might need to rethink the whole direction of this sermon. Thank you. So how many of you have made them, but you already failed it? You already failed to keep your resolution. Awesome. Good honesty here. How many of you don't make them because you know you're going to fail them and you don't want to carry that guilt in your life? All right, there we go. There's some more hands. Okay, good, good. I don't think resolutions are bad. I think they can be beneficial things. But what I want for us to think about this morning is your rhythms in your life are actually more important than the resolutions you make for your life. Your rhythms are more important than your resolutions. The reality is your resolutions probably won't shape your life. But your rhythms do shape your life, whether you are aware of that or not. More than that, the habits and the routines that make up our days and make up our weeks and make up our years don't just shape our calendars, they also shape our souls in real ways. Because who you are, who you're becoming, what you're living for, what your life is about, they're all rooted and reflected in your rhythms. Rhythms are better than resolutions, and our rhythms matter. And that's why we're beginning a new few-week series this morning called Rhythms, and we're trying to think together about our rhythms individually in our own lives, but also the rhythms that we have together as a church, and how these rhythms shape us as people, and how these rhythms shape us as a church. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be walking through five different rhythms. It's not exhaustive. It's not like there's only five that are highlighted in Scripture, but we're just picking five to look at. And after that, after those 5 weeks, we'll have a short little break where we're looking at some things from our church's statement of faith. But then we'll begin, just to give you a forecast forward, we'll begin a study of the Gospel of Mark that will take us through the beginning of the summer. So for those of you that like to plan ahead and think ahead, and you'll hear more about that in the coming weeks as well. But over these next 5 weeks, as we focus on these different rhythms, four different rhythms over 5 weeks, I promise the math will make sense as we go. But they are this. We're going to, and I get this wording from a book called Habits of Grace by a guy named David Mathis. It's a really good book. Habits of Grace is the name of it. I think we have it here in our church library. But really good book. And this wording comes from him. These rhythms are, we're going to, the rhythm of hearing his voice, having his ear, coming to his table, and belonging to his people. And of course, we will explain those more as we go on. But hearing his voice, having his ear, coming to his table, and belonging to his people. And we're starting this morning with hearing his voice. I don't mean this in like a mystical way that we're going to gather in here to hear the voice of God audibly from the sky, but referring to the importance of all of us cultivating consistent rhythms in our lives of hearing the word of God, reading the word of God, being exposed to the word of God. And we're going to look at that this morning from Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. So go ahead and turn there with me. Psalm chapter 1. The book of Psalms is almost smack in the middle of your Bible. So if you don't know where that is, if you just kind of look at the pages and guess in the middle, you will likely land in the book of Psalms and find Psalm chapter 1. It's on page 448 in that blue Bible in front of you. Psalm chapter 1. And the reason we're starting here is not only does it tell us about the benefit of hearing his voice, but I think it also gives us this wide angle view of why these rhythms matter. It's more than just, don't you know you should be doing these things if you're going to call yourself a Christian? That's often our tone in our own self-talk or the tone we give to other people, but that's not the Bible's tone. It goes much broader, has much deeper roots than just a slap on the hand. And I think Psalm 1 shows us that. As I read through Psalm 1, I want you to look for two voices to live by. If we're thinking about the rhythm of hearing God's voice, you're going to see in Psalm 1 this contrast of being able to listen to his voice, but that there's also other voices that can shape us, that we can have rhythms of listening to. And those voices form our ways of life. So look for those as we read through Psalm 1, starting in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Just six short verses, but there's a lot in here that we can unpack. So as we think about these two different voices and these two different ways of life, I think the first thing we're going to see here is that it forms in us two different delights. Two delights. And you'll see that, we'll see that for verses 1 and 2 here in just a second. But this psalm begins with a really interesting statement. Most psalms do not start with this kind of statement. But it says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Everything flows out of that beginning statement. The word blessed can be such a common word that we lose sight of its meaning. It's just such a blessing that we get to, God's really blessed us. Or that's like a hashtag you're putting on your humble brags that you put on social media. You know, it's okay to own to that, own up to that and be honest. This is a safe place. All right, you can do that. But blessing is not this generic happiness or just generic positivity in our lives. It has a distinct God-centered meaning in the Bible. To be blessed means to live under God's favor. It means that we live under his approval. And so that tells us this whole psalm sits on the foundation of God's grace. Blessed is the man. The man who has God's approval. The man who has God's favor. Because no person sits under God's approval and under God's blessing because of what we do. None of us have the ability to earn that approval. None of us have the ability to earn that favor. The only way we get God's blessing and approval is through his work, his initiative, and specifically for Christians today, because of what God has done to rescue us through Jesus Christ. So this gives us, I think, the big picture that I want this whole series to sit on. These rhythms are not a part of this checklist that we have to work through to keep God from being mad at us. Okay, I got to hear his voice, check. I got to talk to him in prayer, check. Got to go to church, check. I don't want God to be mad. That's not the heart of this rhythm, this series on rhythms. It's common to see Bible reading and prayer and other godly habits as ways to earn God's favor. But the gospel tells us that these rhythms and habits are there for us to enjoy God's favor, not earn his favor. The gospel tells us that these rhythms are not obligations we have to keep a relationship with God, but they're invitations to enjoy a relationship with God. These rhythms are the way of life for a person who's satisfied in God, for a person who's full because of God's redemption and salvation in their lives. And this psalm continues by telling us what this person who has God's favor and approval, what they do not do. It starts by telling us what they don't do. Look with me again at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Did you notice the progression there? It goes from walking in the counsel of the wicked to standing in the way of sinners to sitting in the seat of scoffers. Walking, standing, sitting. It's a progression of moving further away from the Lord. You go from thinking like those who reject God to behaving like those who reject God to belonging to those who reject God. And there's a lot that we could unpack from that progression, but what I want you to know is where it starts. Pay attention to how it starts. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. The counsel of the wicked. Here's where the idea of hearing and listening enters the picture for us. The biggest influences in your life are the loudest voices in your life. Who you are listening to is who is shaping you. The progression of your life is charted by the key voices in your life, even if one of those voices is your own voice. Because some of us listen to ourselves before we listen to anybody else. That's hard. I do that. You do that. But it's not just audible voices. It's part of it. the friends that are speaking into you, the family that are, members that are speaking into you, things that you're listening to, podcasts, music, things like that. But it's also voices that maybe we wouldn't label as voices, but we're still listening. We're still hearing them. Think about who you're listening to the most in the routine of your life. What's the very first thing you do when you get up in the morning? A lot of us wake up, got to look at this thing immediately, right? I know that's not everybody, but we're listening as soon as we get up. Or how many minutes or hours do you have cable news on your television at the house or in your office? You're listening. How much time do you spend on social media? Scrolling through social media, checking your news feed, or looking at other people's posts or comments or things like that. These things are not like evil. We need to get rid of all of them. That's not what I'm saying. We need Christians who don't know anything about that stuff, and we need Christians who know everything about that stuff. We need both. So these things aren't evil, but they're not neutral either. We're always listening. We're always hearing. We're always being shaped by the things that we watch and the things that we read. Sometimes the loudest voices aren't necessarily coming through things that we hear, but through things that we see. We live in a very visible culture, as you well know. But who you listen to shapes what you love. Your hearing shapes what you hope in. And this progression in verse 1 shows us that all sin starts with listening to the wrong voices. And that can be the voice of another person. That can be the voice of an influencer. That can be the voice inside your own head. Do not believe everything you tell yourself. You and I, we do not always tell ourselves the truth. The truth as defined in here. But then you see this really stark contrast. Because it goes from the wrong way to listen that leads to a delight in things that do not honor the Lord. Then look at this big contrast in verse 2. But blessed is the man who doesn't do these things, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. So there's this change, this switch at the very beginning. But his delight, not in that, it's in the law of the Lord. Those who enjoy God have a completely different influence. Those who enjoy God have a completely different voice that is the loudest for them in their ear. Not that you and I are not around those other voices, but those voices aren't as loud as his voice. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed person, the person who lives under the favor of God, who knows him and is known by him, he or she finds unmatched joy in God's word because they love the Lord. And the Bible is how they learn more about him, and the Bible is how we learn to please him. Your relationship with God is inseparable from your relationship with his word. You and I cannot have a relationship with God without this book. It would be like trying to have a relationship with a human being without ever speaking to them or hearing from them. If you think little of God, you will think little of the Bible. If you enjoy God, you will enjoy the Bible, and vice versa. But let me pause here just to say, don't allow that word delight to put unrealistic expectations on what it means to hear his voice. Because some of us, we hear the word delight and you automatically feel guilty. I mean, I was trying to read the Bible this week and I would never describe it as delight. It was hard. I wasn't really sure what I was reading. It was a little confusing. It was long. But the word delight here does not mean you come to God's word with this emotional joy every single time. That's not realistic. Our hearts are not in heaven yet. There's an ordinariness to this delight. There's a daily rhythm to this delight. That word is meant to point us to the goal, that the goal of hearing God speak through his word is to enjoy God. So the Bible for us, it's more than just a tool for ministry. It's more than just a weapon to use in an argument. It is the treasure that reveals the God of the universe to us. We cannot see this with just, how is this useful for me? Of course it's useful in a number of ways. But we also have to look at this book first with, this book shows me who God is. And I don't need anything more than I need that. And it becomes a treasure when you think carefully about what he says here. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Notice in your Bible probably, Lord is in all caps. And anytime you see Lord in all caps, it's referring to God's covenant name with his people, the name Yahweh. I am who I am. I am who I will be is how he reveals himself in Exodus with this name. But this is his personal name. So this is the law of the Lord. So the God who created the universe, the God who rescues his people, is a God who enters into relationship with his people. This God speaks. Our God speaks. Of course, we know that he made us. He spoke us into existence. He spoke the universe into existence. But he's also revealed himself to us in human words. Do you know how humble that is for him to do that? He does not have to reveal himself in ways that you and I can understand. But he humbly and mercifully condescends to show us who he is through this book. It's a treasure. It's a treasure for us that God speaks and that he's ready to speak into your life through the Bible. And the big piece to this comes here in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There's the rhythm. He meditates day and night. This is regular. It's a diligence about this. There's day after day that we're trying to work the Word of God into all parts of our lives. So to meditate is not, as you may see in other religions, where you're trying to just empty your mind of everything. For Christianity, and when the Bible talks about meditating, it's filling your mind with the truths of Scripture, with the Word of God, with thoughts about who God is and thoughts about what his truth says. To ponder, to think about, to ask questions about what you're reading, to take what you're reading and turn it into a prayer to the Lord. The encouragement here is to focus our hearts and focus our minds on God's word throughout the day. The point is not this rhythm expressing itself in the same way for all of us. Because the way that works for one person to have this rhythm in their lives is not going to really work for another person. And we'll talk about some practical stuff here in just a minute. But the point is for us to be people who enjoy our God through his word. And there's multiple access points here, not just one. Of course, we want to be people who read the Bible, knowing that this is such a privilege to have a Bible. This is so recent in the history of Christianity that we have a Bible that we can take and read. Centuries and generations of Christians did not know such a thing. But we have multiple ones sitting around the house, right? But to have a Bible that belongs to us, that we can read in a language we understand, is such a privilege that God has given to modern Christians. And let me just say, if you're here this morning and you don't have your own Bible, you come and see me after the service and we will get you one, I promise. We keep some, they're nice, same translation that we use here at church, and we would love for you to have one. But we read the Bible, that's one access point, but we get together in our life classes or with other people and we study the Bible. We work on memorizing the Bible. We hear sermons like this about the Bible. These are all rhythms that we want to have in our lives to hear his voice. And we want to establish rhythms that keep us hearing his word. Because the more we hear his voice, the more we delight in his word, and the more we delight in God. And we'll talk more practical stuff at the end, like I said. But the source of our delight, whether it's delighting in the counsel of the wicked or delighting in the law of the Lord, is going to lead to the direction of our lives. These last two points are quicker than the first one because the first one really lays the foundation for us. So this next one is two directions. There's two delights here, but there's also two directions. Two directions for our lives. And in the next two verses of the psalm, the author is going to give us two pictures to show us what effect the voices we listen to have on the direction of our lives. Look with me in verse 3. Pay attention to these two pictures here. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So the first picture is this picture of a tree. It's those who hear God's voice and enjoy him. The second picture is the picture of the chaff, and that's those who reject God's voice and enjoy rebelling against him. So there's this really clear contrast, the tree and the chaff. One's nourished by a stream, one's driven away by the wind. One does not wither, one's just blown off into the distance. No roots. But I want to look carefully at the first description. He says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. What scene can you think of from the Old Testament that sounds like that? What does that remind you of, that picture? A tree planted by streams of water. What does that remind you of? The Garden of Eden, yes. And I think it's meant to make us, not necessarily be a super specific reference there, but it's meant to think, to cause us to think of the Garden of Eden. It's no coincidence here, because listening to God's word and walking with him day to day like Adam and Eve did prior to the fall is what God intended for his people from the very beginning. He wants us to know him through his word. And as we do this, it brings about a fruitfulness. It brings about an effectiveness. It brings about a steadiness in our lives. He says, its leaf does not wither. The lives of those who hear God's voice are rooted below the surface. So when he says its leaf does not wither, it doesn't mean that my life and your life, if we hear God's voice and trust in him and follow him, it does not mean that our lives are removed from the changing seasons of this life. But it means that we have a root system in the Word of God that is untouched by the changing season of this life. That's our root system. That's our nourishment. The Word of God, the stream of the Word, getting into the roots of our lives and coming out in the fruitfulness of how we live and who we are. So this tells us that these rhythms that we're talking about, they're not rhythms for the sake of rhythms. They're not just meant to be motions that you and I go through so that we can kind of satisfy our own conscience or check a box, like I said earlier. These rhythms are for the sake of fruitfulness. They're for the sake of faithfulness. So they're for the sake of worship in our lives to God. Because those who diligently listen to the Lord, those are the ones who produce thanksgiving when God provides for you the things that you need. They're the ones who have faith in seasons of doubt. They're the ones who have patience in the middle of suffering. They're the ones who have peace in the middle of turmoil, mercy when they've been wronged, gentleness when they're falsely accused, strength in the middle of temptation. Not because of something in us, but because we are connected to the Word of God and we hear his voice. One other point from this picture about the tree is I think this picture of this growing, well-rooted tree, while it does encourage fruitfulness in our lives and it creates that expectation, I think it also helps us understand what growth looks like as we meditate on God's word day and night. Trees grow very slowly. We planted some trees in our backyard a couple years ago, and our kids are still frustrated that they're not big enough to climb yet. Like, maybe your kids might be able to climb them. We'll see. But trees grow so slow, right? But it's the slow growth of a tree that creates strength in that tree. Trees that grow fast are not strong trees. In the same way, God works through his word, and it's a powerful work in our lives, but it's a very gradual work in our lives. It's days and months and years of hearing his voice over and over and over. So it's not overnight. But through the ordinary rhythms of delighting in God's word and meditating on it day and night, God does his work in our hearts and guides the direction of our lives, and growth will happen over time, whether you and I notice it or not. It's almost like noticing, you don't really notice your own kids growing, but then somebody who hasn't seen them a while comes over, man, your kids have really gotten big. But you see them every day and you don't know. Same thing about your own growth and your relationship with the Lord. You see and know yourself and hear yourself and you're around yourself every day. But that's why we need each other to encourage and observe and see that growth in each other as well. But all this growth is leading towards an end. It's leading towards a goal. And that's the last point of this morning. The two destinies. Two destinies. So we've seen the two delights, and those two delights lead to two directions, and those two directions lead to, at the end here, two destinies. So the final two verses of the psalm are going to show us where the voices we listen to, the loudest voices in our lives, where they lead us in the end. Look with me at verse 5. Therefore, so here's the conclusion. After all that we've seen and learned, here's the conclusion. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You see some words here at the end that are repeated from words we saw at the beginning. We see the same group mentioned. In verse 1, you saw wicked, sinners, scoffers. You see some of those words repeated in verse 5. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And then he repeats that word stand. He says in verse 1 that there are those who stand in the way of sinners, but here at the end of verse 5, he says the wicked will not stand in the judgment. I think it's an encouragement for us to know here that it's not worth standing in the way of sinners in this life, because they won't be standing with God's people on the last day. You look at these voices, you hear these voices differently when you see the long-term picture, when you see the eternal picture here, because a life of listening to the wrong voices, while it may seem like the best in the short term, I understand that pull and that tension. There's certain things you hear from friends or from others or from things in the culture that, like, man, that sounds right and good. But the point here is that while it may seem like the best and the happiest in the short term, it's going to prove to be empty in the long term. It's going to prove to be futile in the long term, because he says in verse 6, the way of the wicked will perish. It's like a road that leads to nothing. It's a road that leads to ruin. So while this conversation that I've been talking about this whole time, about the voices you listen to, it may feel completely inconsequential for you. Like, Cam, you're talking about hearing voices and God's voice, other people's voices. Not sure what, it doesn't really seem like that big a deal, but this psalm is laying on us. It has eternal implications here, the voices that you listen to. The rhythms of whose word is shaping you doesn't just have implications for your soul right now, it has implications for your soul for eternity. And once again, we see this contrast between those who listen to God's voice and those who listen to others' voices. When he says in verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. I think this is bookending with the truth we saw with the word blessed at the beginning. We saw God's approval and God's favor on his people, strictly by his grace and mercy. And here, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. None of us are righteous by what we do, right? I could work and work and work for the rest of my life and never be righteous before God. Those who are righteous are those who trust in the work of God to make them righteous. And the Lord knows them, meaning he has his love on them. He has his approval on them. It's just another reminder for us that a life lived listening to the Lord and walking in his ways is lived on the foundation of his grace. The goal, like I said at the beginning, is not to earn his favor. It's to enjoy his favor through Jesus. So these two delights lead to two directions, which lead to two destinies. And the rhythm of hearing his voice is what makes the difference. But what does this look like? How am I supposed to hear his voice? Need to go and put like some super spiritual music on, light a candle, go in a quiet room, open the Bible, and just wait for God to turn it to the right page so I know what I'm supposed to read. Obviously, I'm being a little goofy, but we think strange things like that sometimes. Like, that's more spiritual than other things. Here's just some practical things for us to take away here at the end. First thing I would say is this, is that there is no replacement for finding a regular time and a regular place to sit and read God's word or listen to God's word. Block out distractions. Get in his word, whether it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever your spot in your walk with Christ and your schedule allows. And let your mind and heart be led. Let your mind and heart be captured and thrilled by God himself communicating to us through this written word. A plan is crucial. It's crucial. And a plan helps you know what you're going to do the next time you sit down to read. Because if you think, well, I'll just kind of see what happens. That's like thinking you're going to be motivated to go to the gym and you don't have a plan at the gym. I'll just see how I feel in the morning if I'm going to go to the gym. We all know what that means. I'm not going to the gym in the morning, right? So we have to have a plan. And just some practical things. You could read from our bulletin. There's always a scripture that guides our service every week. That could be, maybe that's your reading during the week, or something from the sermon, or something from your life class. Maybe you have a Bible reading plan that you're following. There's resources about that in our church library and even the online bookstore we have on our church's website. But just the goal is to find a rhythm in your life that you are consistently reading or hearing the Word of God. There's nothing that says the people that read 5 chapters a day are more spiritual and the person that has a devotional with a paragraph and one verse is less spiritual. We always want to bring that kind of performance-oriented stuff into this conversation. It's not a part of the conversation. But we need to do whatever is going to help you take the next step in walking with Christ and enjoying God. That's the right next step. So I would say have a plan, but, little caveat, disclaimer to that, don't let the push to check boxes keep you from meditating on the Word of God. Because if you're like me, you think, all right, well, my plan says I have to read these 3 chapters today. Let's see, got up a little late. Okay, I have 3 minutes. Awesome. So let's see, just kind of skim through this. All right, got over it, check the box. My conscience feels good for the day. Let's go. I'm not going to get a flat tire on the way to work because I read my Bible and God likes me now. You don't think like that? Just me? Okay. Pastoral team will do group counseling for me tomorrow. But we bring this kind of stuff in that, like, it's just about checking the box and getting through the plan. I understand that. We want to be consistent and disciplined people. But we want to be people who meditate on the Word of God, who think and ask questions, and maybe focus on a phrase or a verse, and you turn that into a prayer for yourself or your family or your friends for that day. Ways to slow down and think carefully about it. But over all of this, the goal is to just do whatever works for you to create a rhythm to hear His voice. That's the goal, to hear His voice, because your rhythms shape your life. Your rhythms shape your soul. And as we look to be people who build in a rhythm of hearing God's word in our individual lives and together as a church, it's a rhythm for us as a whole church to hear His voice as well. There is great joy. There's great joy. Hear me here. In knowing that no matter how little experience you may have with something like this, or how inconsistent your routine may be, our God stands ready to speak to you through His word. Day after day, He's a God who speaks. So what will this rhythm look like in your life? Realistically, sustainably, what will this look like? What's a good starting point for you? If this is something that many of you already do, that's great. But what can you do to create rhythms of hearing from Him throughout the day? Maybe you have a set time that you're reading the Word. What can you do to bring that rhythm into your whole day? Not saying you steal time from your employer or your teacher, but maybe you write down a little thought or put a little note on your phone that has a verse from what you read, and you're looking at that a couple times throughout the day between meetings or between classes or between jobs or something like that. How can we bring this rhythm into our whole day, into our whole lives? David Mathis, in that book I mentioned earlier, Habits of Grace, he writes this in his chapter on hearing His voice, and I think it's just a good encouragement for us as we go. He says, may God give you intentionality to shape your weeks with His word. May He give you ingenuity to shower your days with His voice. And may He give you creativity to punctuate your life and the lives of those around you with fresh routines for regularly hearing his life-giving words. Church, let's be a people who value the voice of God over every other voice in our lives and allow our lives, allow our church to be shaped by his voice and his voice alone. Let's pray.